Welcome to the Congressional Awards Foundation podcast, Elevating DC Youth, a collaboration between the Office of Cable Television, Film, Music, and Entertainment, and the Congressional Award Foundation. This podcast is intended to help guide DC students through the opportunities the Congressional Award Program offers and provide information on how to explore the Congressional Award Program's pathways to career goals.
Hello, and welcome to the Congressional Award Podcast, led by Deanwood Radio Broadcast Program. I'm Jasmine Smith from Deanwood, and I'm one of your co-hosts today.
Hi, I'm Naya Tucker, also from Deanwood, and I'll be your other host for this podcast.
Deanwood Radio Broadcast is a multimedia journalism program encouraging teens and young adults to create a platform and utilize it, whether it's for their own brand or to shed light on current events and news topics. We learn about different ways to cover things like sports reporting and sports management, whilst on tours of said sports facilities as well. Now let's meet our guest, Captain Lena Kamen.
Captain Lena Kamen is a native of Shawano, Wisconsin, and is a daughter of a Navy veteran of Korea and Vietnam. She became a member of the Reserve Officers Training Corps at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and graduated with a Bachelor's of Arts in French in 2000. Captain Kamen was designated as a Navy aviator in March 2002 and reported to HSL 40 in Mayport, Florida for SH-60D Seahawks training. She was deployed on the USS Leyte Gulf GC-55 from February to August 2004 on the Med/Meth cruise on board the USS Thomas S. Gates from June to September 2005. She was then awarded the Air Medal for flying over 100 combat hours in support of operations in Iraq and enduring freedom. Captain Kamen has been awarded the Association of the United States Navy Full-Term Support Officer of the Year for all Chief of Naval Air Training Squadron from 2010 and 2011. She earned a Master's of Aerial Science from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
In January 2012, Captain Kamen joined the staff of the Chief of Naval Personnel in Washington, D.C., where she served as the Head Enlisted Advancement Planner. She then served as a flag aide for the Chief of Naval Reserve from July 2014 to September 2016. She then graduated with a Master's of National Security and Strategy Studies from the Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island in 2017. Captain Kamen became the commanding officer of Naval Air Station Joint Reserve Base in New Orleans in August 2022. Captain Kamen has no more than 4,200 naval aircraft. Her personnel awards include Meritorious Service Award, 3 medals, the Air Medal, and the Navy Achievement Medal, and various services and campaign ribbons.
Today's topic is career growth and sustainability practices with Captain Lena Kamen. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's such an honor to meet you both, Jasmine and Naya. A passion of mine is engaging with and mentoring youth. And so I'm just so honored to be part of this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. Captain Kamen, you were named Instructor of the Year in 2007, which requires a lot of passion. Do you still have this passion? And have you felt drained by the responsibilities you hold?
Oh, I absolutely still have that passion. I love learning new skill sets. And so when I was a brand new instructor, it was a new world. It was a chance for me to watch what the instructors that did a good job. It was a chance for me to watch what they did, to listen to the students and to hear what they thought made a good instructor. And then for me to pattern myself and do those things that the good instructors did or the effective instructors did. And I still carry that mindset. So anytime I get to a new job, I want to watch. I want to know who earned an award for being the best installation CO or who earned the awards for being the best this or the best that. What did they do? And what can I add to my tool set to be like them and to do that? And so I absolutely am passionate about that. The second part of your question, can you repeat that part? Was it about challenges?
Yes. Have you ever felt drained by the responsibilities you hold?
Drained by, yes. I think burnout is a good way to put that. There are certain aspects of the responsibilities that I've held at various points of my career where we tend to focus on the negative or by nature, I think sometimes people can focus on the negative instead of focusing on the positive. And so I just try to be really intentional about not letting myself get drained. It's such a privilege to serve in the military in any capacity. I'm serving my country. I'm serving my fellow humans. And so I really try to focus on that, and challenges are part of that. So recognizing that there's thorns with the roses, right? And you can celebrate your wins, celebrate the positive things, but you do have to be able to deal with and learn from the negative without letting that drain you.
Thank you so much for that answer. Okay, the next question is, what influenced or inspired you to join the Navy?
So that's a good question. A lot of it just kind of worked out for the best. Some of it was by chance. But what happened is my father was retired from the Navy. So he was a retired chief. He was a gunner's mate. And he served, as you read in my bio, towards the very tail end of the Korean War and then a lot of time during Vietnam. But he was retired before I was even born, before he even met my mother. So he kind of had lived this whole life in the Navy, then met my mom, and then lived a second life. So I didn't grow up with that. My mom still lives in the house where I was born. So I wasn't what we call a military brat moving around or anything. However, because of his time in the service, my mom knew about military programs and I knew a little bit about the military. And so when I was in high school and kind of deciding, what do I want to do when I grow up, right? Like, we've all been there. We've all been in high school and trying to figure out, what do I do? Do I go to college? Do I join the military? Do I take a gap year? Do I enter the workforce right away? Tech school, all those options. And so my mom said, well, why don't you fill out some scholarship applications? And one of those was for the military's ROTC, Reserved Officer Training Corps program, which is kind of a hybrid. It's you go to college, you're like any other college student at a college of your choice, but you're enrolled in this military program, which prepares you to become an officer when you finish school. So you graduate from college and are commissioned in the military at the same time. And so I really liked that hybrid program. For me, that was a great fit. You know, for other people, maybe a service academy might be a better fit, where they're wearing a uniform every single day and fully immersed. For other people, maybe joining the military and not doing college at all and just enlisting in the service, that might be a good fit. But for me, I really wanted that college experience. I wanted to experience being a student, forming those relationships, having really good friends. But I wanted to prepare for post-college. And so that was a good way for me to do that.
Thank you. My question for you is, what encouraging words do you have for young women like myself who want to join the military, which is, you know, known as like a more male-dominated space if they're apprehensive?
Great question. Thank you for bringing that up. So my words of encouragement are, don't be afraid and do it. We have a lot of women leaders. And so you may know that in the Navy, we just had a four-star admiral, Admiral Franchetti. She became the first head of any of our military services. The Coast Guard has a female service head. They, of course, fall under the Department of Transportation. But for the Department of Defense, Admiral Franchetti is the first female four-star in charge of the service. So that's wonderful news. So here's more practical advice of actual steps people can take. First of all, I would urge you to learn about the different options. So look at all the services and look at all the different career fields. I guarantee we have careers and skill sets that people don't even know that we do. We all know things like pilots or tank drivers or medics, but in the various services, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, Space Force now, of course, and then Coast Guard also, we have veterinarians. We have a lot of computer programmers. We have journalists. We have nurses. doctors, pharmacists, lots and lots of different skill sets. So ask the questions. You know, go to your guidance office at your school and they can connect you, or go to your local recruiting office, do some research online, but definitely learn what the different skill sets are. And I have a feeling that there's going to be something that aligns with what you're interested in. So as my career has progressed, in the beginning of my career, I was often the only female instructor, or one of only a couple female instructors, say, or one of only a couple female pilots in my squadron. But as I've moved throughout my career, I am seeing now that there's several female instructors in a squadron, or several pilots in a squadron, that type of thing. So we have females who are commanding warships, females who are commanding squadrons. Of course, I'm giving a lot of examples from the Navy since that's the service I'm in, but there's females in positions of leadership at all levels and all the services.
Thank you. Okay, my question is, what was your training like for your position?
Okay, so right now, as the commanding officer of a Naval Air Station and Joint Reserve Base, I had two training tracks. One training track is on leadership skills. So I attended a formal leadership course where they teach us and give us the tools to be an effective leader. So first and foremost, to be an effective leader, you have to be a good listener. And so you have to value your people and listen to what they have to say and take that feedback. And if you're able to make a change, make the change. If it's a barrier that you yourself can't break, elevate that barrier to a level who can break that barrier and get a solution. So that the leadership school armed us with those type of tools. And then there's also more the formal skill sets needed for this particular job. And so that was a 3-week school. Especially here in New Orleans, we have hurricanes. So that school, just for an example, talked about emergency management and what my role and responsibility would be as the installation commanding officer if we would have a hurricane. And it also taught us how funding works. And that has a huge tie-in with Congress. And so there's different types of money. So for example, if we're going to build a new facility on the base, a new building, that has a different process to get funded for that than, say, if our swimming pool needs repairs. That would be a different type of money. So we had to learn all about that type of stuff too. And a lot of it is on-the-job training. So there's no way any one type of course or school would teach us everything we need to know how to be an installation commanding officer. I have a fire department. I have a police station. I have a daycare. I have a bowling alley. I have a whole team that runs the airfield, air traffic controllers. So to know how to be the boss of all those departments, it just requires a learning mindset, coming to work every day, knowing that I have experts who do know those jobs, you know, subject matter experts that I need to rely on and let them run their departments, but I need them to know that they have to tell me and bring barriers to me and fill me in on what I need to know to make decisions.
My next question is, what were some of your biggest fears entering the force and how did you overcome them?
So one fear is that we're always learning new skill sets, always moving, always meeting new people. And even though it might not seem like it right now, I used to be very shy and very reserved. And so that was a fear of, okay, I meet people, I get used to them, and I learn this job. And oh, just when you get comfortable, now I have to do that all over again. And what if I don't like the new people I'm going to work with? What if they don't like me? What if I'm not good at this new job that I have to learn? And so I think one way to overcome that is preparation. Ask questions and find mentors. I am such a firm believer in mentorship, and I And that goes both ways. So I will never turn anyone down who reaches out to me to be a mentor, whether that's just a couple questions here and there, or whether it's a more formalized mentor partnership that lasts for years. And likewise, I never hesitate to reach out to people who have been there, done that, and gone before me, because that's going to help me prepare and help me overcome those fears. If I can talk to somebody and say, okay, I know that in 6 months, I am going to be going and moving and doing this job or moving to this city. And I know you've done that job or you've lived in that city. How is it? You know, what did you do? And hearing their experience and learning from them, that's really the number one way that I overcome it.
Thank you. Are you able to share how you have utilized your education in French? And do you recommend prospective service members to have a background in a foreign language?
So in college, as you said, I did major in French. And just so happens that my husband is from Cameroon, Africa, which is a French-speaking country. So it's definitely helped out in my personal life. And I know that you may be interested in work-life balance. And so that's kind of why I bring that up, because my husband is a huge, huge, huge supporter of me and my career, which is necessary. And so my major has helped in that aspect. But professionally, I haven't had a chance to use my major. I haven't had any nexuses with my career, but some people have, depending on what their language is. So yes, I think it helps to make a well-rounded person and to help expand your knowledge of different cultures and different people. But depending on what that, and that's for any language, but depending on actually being useful in terms of using that language, I think it would be more of the languages, maybe a Middle Eastern language or Russian or Chinese.
Thank you. What are your favorite things about working in the military?
My favorite things about working in the military, I spoke of few minutes ago about fears of meeting new people and moving to new cities and learning new jobs, which ironically is also some of my favorite things. So when you overcome those fears, that's really the best thing is of course, serving my country, the concept of that and patriotism. But while I'm doing that, my favorite thing is meeting new people and adding them to my friendship circle. Some folks will just be colleagues, but some folks I maintain contact with and keep in touch. And I have 24 years of that. So I have friends that I keep in touch with that I met 24 years ago in flight school, or maybe 10 years ago, or maybe 5 years ago. And I just love keeping in contact, hearing from them, learning what they're doing. And I love that we can always have new challenges. There's always something new. I'm a goal setter. And so I love setting new goals and achieving those goals and learning new things. And I love the opportunity for travel. So of course, in the military, we have deployment opportunities where you're actually going to another country or a different location for a longer period of time. Sometimes that might be 6 months, sometimes maybe a year, but there's always opportunities for short trips. We do a lot of symposiums where we gather in a certain city and have a 2 or 3 day symposium or conference to learn from others and to learn about a specific topic. When I was an admiral's aide, I traveled a lot. The admiral that I was an aide for, she was the chief of Navy Reserve, which means she was responsible for the 60,000 people in the Navy Reserve and the mission of the Navy Reserve. And so we would travel around the country and around the globe to visit Navy reservists and see them doing their job and their mission. And so that was a really great chance to get exposed to other people and other cultures. And the last thing I'll say is the opportunity for education. So whether that's courses that are specific to the Navy or specific to the military, or whether that's the opportunity to learn and achieve certificates or degrees, the military really puts an emphasis on education, which I love and think is so important.
Mentioning education, and you know, you're an instructor, you're instructor of the year. Do you know what some of your students are, like what pathways they've gone down or what, you know, they may be doing now?
Yes, I do. I keep in contact with several of my prior students, and some of them stay on a traditional career pipeline in the Navy, and they go to their flying tour, and then they go to a staff tour and learn how to do some type of important office job, and then they go back and they become a commanding officer of an aircraft squadron. So that's really cool to see the next generation achieve their goals and dreams. Other ones may separate from the Navy but stay a reservist, and then they get to be that citizen sailor, where they continue to serve in the military and continue to have a career path and achieve goals there, but they get to also focus more on family or more on a civilian career. And that's also really neat to see. Other people may decide that while they like being a pilot, they might want to focus on something else in the military. So they stay in the Navy, but change over and do a different career path. Maybe they become a human resources officer and focus more on people management. And so I've seen it all. And I think that that's also what's really cool, is that there are all these options. It's kind of like choose your own adventure, right? Depending on what your life goals are and depending on what you're interested in, there's no one set path that people have to follow.
Captain Kamen, what leadership qualities do you believe are essential for success in the Naval Service, and how do you embody them?
For leadership qualities that are essential, I think number one, we have to be prepared and open to learning. And that touches on this concept of failing too. Sometimes the word failure can be really scary, but if we embrace failures as an opportunity to learn and grow and to be better next time and to improve, I think that is so important, because there's no way we can learn it all at once. So we have to be prepared that if we do make a mistake, that okay, let's not focus on the mistake. Let's focus on what led up to it and how we can do something different next time. So I think that's number one, having a learning mindset, and don't be afraid of failure. Use that as an opportunity to grow. And then also, I touched on it earlier, the concept of valuing people and listening to them. An organization performs best when its people are happy. And there's some things that make people happy, you know, food and money, but other things that make people happy that are more in our control are making sure that they feel valued in their job, whatever that job might be. And so right now in the military in particular, we don't have a draft. It's all volunteer force. Every single one of us in the military has willingly raised our hand and said, yes, put me in. I don't want anyone to regret that decision. So I want folks that are in the military, especially those in my command or who fall under my leadership, to be thankful that they did that and to feel like their work matters. And so I can value them by getting to know them, knowing their name, knowing a little bit about their family, engaging with them, giving them a smile and a handshake, and thanking them for the job they're doing and listening to any feedback they might have.
Thank you. My last question is, what pushed or encouraged you to get your master's?
So when I thought about getting my master's, I was still in a flying billet. So I was in a squadron. That's when I was an instructor pilot. And so I was focusing a lot on that. But I also knew I wanted to be a little bit more well-rounded. And I knew I was planning to stay in the military at that point. I wasn't planning on separating, but I still wanted to set myself up for success for when I do leave the military. And so I looked at various programs and various things I knew I was interested in, looked at some things I didn't know if I was interested in or not. I was not in a relationship then. You know, I wasn't married, didn't have a serious significant other. So I had a little bit of time on my hands. And so I wanted to use that time. And I ended up going with the Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University program because it met in person you know, this was back in the 2009 timeframe, so quite a while ago. A lot of programs now are virtual, especially post-COVID. But back then, I wanted something that met in person. I wanted to meet with people and engage with people. And they offered a program that met in the evenings, but that met in person. And so that's kind of what prompted me to earn my master's. And then later on in my career, I had a chance to go to the Naval War College and earn a second master's. And that was a great opportunity too, because that was an in-person program for a full academic year. And I really enjoyed the core classes that everyone had to take to earn that master's. But also the cool thing about that program was the electives. And so I had an elective. I had three electives. I had one on women in combat and war, which was very interesting. And then an elective on George Washington and how he not only was our first president, but he was an innovative businessman and farmer and leader. And then I also had an elective on the role of technology in natural disasters. So three completely different electives, and I so thoroughly enjoyed them all. And so I'm very happy with both of the masters I've earned.
Thank you so much, Captain Lena Kamen, for being a guest on our show today and for answering our questions.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to everyone for listening to the Congressional Award Podcast led by Deanwood Radio Broadcast Program. I'm Jasmine Smith.
And I'm Nia Tucker. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Congressional Awards Foundation podcast, Elevating DC Youth. The Congressional Awards Foundation podcast, Elevating DC Youth, is a collaboration between the Office of Cable Television, Film, Music, and Entertainment and the Congressional Award Foundation. For more information about the Congressional Award Foundation, visit congressionalaward.org.